Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure like some of you, I was homeschooled. My parents taught me at home. And this meant that we didn't have all the things that people who went to public school had available to them. So my parents had to use creative means to educate us. For example, in lieu of a state-of-the-art biology lab with latex gloves and delicate scalpels for dissecting animals carefully preserved in formaldehyde, my brothers and I learned to identify internal organs by hunting deer and cleaning out the carcasses with giant knives and our bare hands. Those were lessons in courage as well. I remember my dad pulling out the internal organs of a deer and having us identify them. It was terrifying as a little kid. But we learned a thing or two. As I got older, I continued to go hunting. If for no other reason, I found sitting up in a tree in the middle of the woods to be relaxing and a great environment for reading. But I also learned to appreciate having to kill your own food. Eating animal flesh is kind of a jarring thing if you think about it, which is why we don't do that very often. But an animal had to die so that you could eat it. And my dad's rule was, if you shoot it, you eat it. Which is why I grew tired of squirrel hunting after my very first kill. In case you're wondering, they taste a lot like chicken with strong, nutty overtones. Killing a deer, though, is quite different. It's a much larger animal. And when you're cleaning it, you realize the organs are probably similar to your own size. And it's disturbing. It occurred to me that for most of human history, probably people were better acquainted with death. They experienced it more often. And they probably didn't lose sight of the association between meat and death. Whereas today, I think some people may assume that chicken breasts come wrapped in cellophane and sitting in styrofoam. That's how we experience it. It's a very clean way to experience meat. In fact, it's almost completely separate from death. Also, like some of you, I'm not a cradle Anglican. I grew up Baptisterian. We celebrated Easter in different ways. We didn't follow such popish nonsense as Lent and Holy Week midweek services. The only thing that really made Easter different was that we put on nicer clothes. One of the things I appreciate about the Anglican form of Christianity is that it includes these disciplines and liturgies that provide a great scope for imagination and for our souls to enter into contemplation into the mystery of the gospel that otherwise might remain wrapped in a cellophane of superficiality or sitting in a styrofoam plate of emotivism. Our readings today remind us that the gospel is both bloody and dirty. And if you don't force yourself to see that, you'll miss something crucial. Now, I kind of like Latin, and so I just made a pun there, but I'll explain. The word crucial, the root is the word crux. And in Latin, that's the word for cross. So I'll say it again. If you miss the bloody and dirty character of the gospel, you'll miss something crucial. Got it. Okay. I admit I had to remind myself using Google what the word mondi meant. It should be easy because I said I like Latin, and it comes from a Latin word that means something like mandate or commandment. But it's an M-A-U, it's not an M-A-N, it's a little complicated. But it comes from the chapter that we had for our gospel reading today, but it comes from a verse that's not included in today's reading. It comes from verse 34, which is where Christ says, "A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So that's where this whole significance for this evening's service comes from. So as we think about what the new commandment is, I think it's helpful to recall what the old commandment was. The old commandment, as we usually hear on Sunday mornings, is the law of Moses, summed up as, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now these are two requirements, and each with their own standard, and for both of them, the standard is sort of us, right? It's loving God with all of my effort and loving my neighbor as I would like to be loved. So for both of them, we are the measure. Now, this evening's Old Testament reading details the manner in which God dealt with Israel's failing to hold to these standards with an animal sacrifice. He demanded that blood be a covering for them so that his wrath might pass over them. Now, think about what they did. They took blood, wet, sticky, stinky blood, and wiped it on their door frames. And the next morning, by God's mercy, their eldest children were still there, but presumably so was the blood. I wonder, did they wash it off, or did they just let the flies lick it up? I don't know, but the message was clear that it cost blood to assuage God's wrath. So we learned a couple Wednesdays ago at Father Adam's midweek lesson that the Israelites didn't, when they gave a sacrifice, they didn't just show up at the temple and hand off a sweet little lamb to the priest and sort of chalk it up as a financial loss. No, they actually had to cut the neck of the animal. They had to get their own hands bloody. The priest merely took the slaughtered animal and put it on the altar. I didn't know that before. But it must have been very clear to them that sin costs blood. So the standard for the old commandment was for me to love God, as I said, with all of my effort. But the stark reality is that my efforts are never good enough, ever. Christ's efforts, though, seen especially in his passion, are good enough. And we know that he struggled in his efforts, for he was yet a man tempted like we are in every way. And the Gospels tell us that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wished there were a way out of the path of the cross, and yet he submitted to the will of his Father. Before I studied Latin, I had a strange conception of what the phrase passion of Christ meant. Does it mean he loves us passionately? Sort of, yes, but that's not the point. The word passion has the same root as the word patience, which we had in our reading today in a kind of strange use. The root is the Latin word pati, which means to suffer. So the passion of Christ is the suffering of Christ. He suffered in his body on the cross and in his soul in being separated from his Father. And in the Eucharist, Christ invites us to exercise faith in him. And he gave us instructions in exactly how to do this. He commands us with verbs in the imperative mood, do this in this way. Take up bread and eat. Take up wine and drink, and have faith that it is my body and blood. He commands us to take a piece of his precious body, broken into pieces, and then to crush that piece even more between our own teeth. We take him crushed, and we crush him further. We cannot have him any other way. This is the manner in which we are commanded to exercise faith and salvation in Jesus, the only Son of God, the Christ. In washing his disciples' feet, he sets a new standard for loving one's neighbor. It's much dirtier than the old one. For to fulfill the standard, he had to love sinners as dirty as we are. So take up your towel, as he did, and love one another like he did. In giving us the Eucharist, he sets a new standard for loving God. It's much bloodier than the old one. For to fulfill it, to fulfill that standard, he resisted sin to the point of shedding his own blood. So take up your cross like he did and follow him. The dirty and bloody kindness of God is meant to lead us to repentance, as St. Paul says in Romans. And Jesus shows us the manner in which God loves us, the bloody and dirty depths to which he bent to demonstrate that love. And the only reasonable response from us, as the general prayer of thanksgiving in our prayer book eloquently says, is a showing of gratitude, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to his service and by walking before him in holiness and righteousness all our days. And the degree to which we see the bloody and character of the gospel and the kindness of God, to that same degree will we give up ourselves to him by his grace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.